Hello again, everybody. A few weeks ago, I did a video on Julius Evola and a chapter from his Revolt Against the Modern World, which I found really interesting. And Evola was kind of marking the beginning of the modern world with the Protestant Reformation and the rise of capitalism and individualism and rationalism. And I thought it would be, what would it be like if we drew out where that was going to go? So, European man had been on one particular philosophical path throughout history, and then it changed quite suddenly and quite dramatically, and we headed off in another direction. And what we can think of the Catholic Church as being sort of a hierarchy where everybody would look upwards and into the eternal and into God, was replaced by something which was expansive but flat and shallow. And so where would that take us in the end? And Blade Runner 2049 does a very good job of explaining that, actually. In this world, there's no longer any kind of racial thinking, there's no ethnic identity, there's no nationalism, there's no patriotism, there's no deeper sense of authenticity, there's no religion, there's no mysticism, there's no metaphysics, there's absolutely nothing. The only things left standing in this world are capitalism and technology, and that's it. These twins, which were the, so the seeds of them were planted a long time ago, or everything else, probably because it wasn't any efficient enough, or it didn't sort of, they couldn't rake in as much profit as they'd like. Everything else has been destroyed or snuffed out, and all that remains in this world is capitalism and technology, and everything sort of revolves around those two things. It informs everything in this world. And so here we see the culmination of that philosophical path in Blade Runner, and it's very interesting, actually. I mean, when the movie came out a few years ago, a lot of sort of young white lads really took to it as well, and you have this sort of whole fash wave aesthetic which people are fond of. And even in the main character Joe, who's a replicant, I can understand why people would identify that. I can understand why the modern European, a young European man, would identify with, he's a masculine character, he's tough, but he's just sort of, he's got this sort of feminist bitch who bosses him around, that's his boss. But he just saw he's completely alone, and the only kind of love he has in his life is a hologram called Joy, and who makes him like a perfect dinner. And you know, she can be a bit sexy, but she's also the perfect wife, so she kind of ticks all the boxes like that. And there's the Joy herself is yearning for something authentic, but so too are the replicants, and that's where things begin to unravel in this world, because humans are actually the replicants are more authentic, and yearning for more. They've got a poetic spirit to them, which is completely gone from the actual humans. The humans have been in this frame for so long that they can no longer think in any terms other than just raw materialism, capitalism. These giant corporations do everything. They run the world, and the expanse has not stopped with the world. It's travelled on, and it's going into outer space. But the replicants are sort of malfunctioning, and the famous scene with Rutger Hauer in the first movie is an example of this, where he gives the monologue on the roof as he was dying about seeing starships explode off the shoulder of Orion, and all of his dreams and all of his thoughts would disappear like tears in the rain. There's that famous scene. In this one, it's similar as well. So, Joe, the main character, has this perfect hologram wife because he's yearning for something authentic which doesn't exist and which he's never known. And even the hologram herself is sort of standing under the rain in a nod back to the original one. So the humans are now just husks, just sort of husks, and they've become like appendages of the capitalist technocratic machine. They are just of it and part of it. But yet, somewhere down the line, in order to, for purposes of production, mass production, the machine has produced these replicants, and the replicants are malfunctioning because they are beginning to think in terms of metaphysics, and they are beginning to think in terms in poetic terms, and it's an absolute disaster for the system, and they have to look for ways to hunt them down and kill them. There's a bit of left-wing nonsense in there as well, but I'll let that slide. For what is actually a perfect sort of vision of where the purely capitalistic and materialistic society will lead, and it's in Blade Runner 2049 throughout. It's beautiful to look at the same time that it's actually quite horrifying, to be honest. Where humans are now in the position of destroying all that remains of the authentic human experience. Memories and authenticity play out throughout it, and they're just operatives like a cog in this machine, and they can't have anything which malfunctions. You can't have anything which thinks in purely poetic ways, because it isn't efficient enough. They need to kill it. And the grid has even expanded out into space. It's actually quite brilliant. And the feminist boss actually says to Joe as well, we're all just looking for something real. Whether she actually knows what that is up for grabs, actually. Another thing that I really like about it is that you get to see where the way the movie deals with women. And the feminist question is very good. So you get the impression in Vegas that there was a point before a complete collapse where the society worshipped sort of women, but at the same time was completely degenerate. And you see these gigantic statues of women in these sexual poses. And that's obviously gone. Everything's destroyed. And there's no natural world left whatsoever either. So the average human doesn't even has never seen a tree or a sunflower. Because why? Because why have what? It's inefficient. It doesn't bring any profit up. It's not part of the machine. So there's no worth placed on it. And this is the kind of thing that Martin Heidegger would talk about, where everything, because of this rationalism, because of the scientific worldview, this sort of empirical worldview, everything in the natural world just becomes a resource. It just becomes a quantity to be used as fuel or to be harvested for profit. There's nothing, you can't have just beauty in and of itself. For its own sake, that's gone now. Everything because it can't be rationalized, and it can't be kind of quantified and put on a spreadsheet, so it can't be defended, and so it'll go. And what you're left with is this planet, which is literally, I've used the term before, just a gigantic productive grid, and in and by some sort of weird freak occurrence, the grid has produced. Something, these living entities, artificially created them, and they then are now thinking in terms of poetry, and they appreciate a flower when they see it, or in the first one, they dream of a unicorn, and so on. Joy loves the feeling of the rain on her, but the humans have been reduced to these husks, where all they can think of is to destroy them, destroy these weird creatures who are now dreaming of the stars. Very, very interesting take on that. I could actually do multiple videos on all of the themes in Blade Runner 2045 just to sit back and gasp on it all, especially the open scenes where it's just a gigantic the farming complex of circles. Brilliant stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I'll catch you later.